Now, welcome back to part three of Artifacts. This is Brenda Dunn with you until 8 o'clock this evening. If you want to get in touch, it's artifactskfm@gmail.com. You can connect with us on Twitter as well. And you can check out all our podcasts on kfmradio.com. Now, I'm delighted to have writer Susan Lanigan in studio with me. You're very welcome to Artifacts.
Thank you very much, Brenda. Nice to be here.
Yeah. Now, listen, first of all, tell us a little bit about your writing background.
Well, I've always wanted to write, and for a long time I wrote short stories, and I'd sometimes get them published and sometimes not, and sometimes get them shortlisted and sometimes not, and then I get them shortlisted and I wouldn't win. So it was rather too often always a bridesmaid and never the bride. And I think I was evading writing novels for a long time because I hadn't found the story that would really grab me. And then about 3-4 years ago, I finally found that story, and it was a story of the white feather of cowardice, and I just started and I could not stop.
Right. So did you, when you, as you say, when you found that story, did you write it as a short story and it just became something bigger, or did you always intend it to be a novel once you realised you had the story?
Funny enough, that's exactly how it started, as a short story. But it was a totally different kind of subject matter. I tried lots of different things with it. First, I tried a short story, and I think I tried some sort of time slip device where you had the white feather and giving the white feather of cowardice during World War One, and then I would have this up-to-date thing based on an Irish sink estate, and I don't know, I was trying all sorts of things and it didn't work. And then I had another go, and I tried bringing in all the Bloomsbury poets like Rupert Brooke, and, you know, bringing people like Virginia Woolf and all of them. They kind of just sit around and be naked a lot of the time. So, you know, very arty. And that didn't work either. And then finally, I just, I was starting on the idea with Rupert Brooke, and then I was working, and I had my main protagonist. She was at a school to kind of finish her off so she could be in polite society and maybe start meeting all these people by means of starting in polite society and then getting to know them in impolite society. But then this teacher came in, and he was nonchalant and rude. And then once he came in, I suddenly realised, OK, this guy's a major character. So that changed the book completely, and a new story started. And that really changed the whole trajectory of the novel.
So the novel is called
White Feathers.
White Feathers, and it was published, was it towards the end of last year?
Actually, late in August, kind of one of those lacuna times.
Yeah.
You know, just after the last lot and before the next lot, kind of. So it's taken a while to bed down.
Yeah. And so in essence, the story, I'm intrigued by this white feather. Tell me what the white feather stands for.
Well, during World War One, towards the beginning, when they were trying to mobilise a lot of people, particularly General Kitchener, was it Lord Kitchener? Lord Kitchener. He wanted to mobilise many, many men all at one go, and he wasn't quite getting the results he wanted. So, and this, these other people set up this organisation called the Order of the White Feather, and their purpose in life was to persuade the women of Britain to go, and to a certain to some extent Ireland too, to go around with white feathers, find men out of uniform, and pin the white feather to them, or hand them the white feather, preferably in public, preferably in a way that would embarrass them.
So, like a mark of cowardice.
Yes, exactly, that they weren't enlisting. Even, it was crazy, anybody not in uniform was a target, and that looked that they might be anywhere close to fighting age. Mm. There was one man who was just walking through a park, and this woman accosts him and says, "Why aren't you wearing a white feather?" And he replies perfectly reasonably, "I'm German." And she gave him the white feather anyway. So that was the kind of climate it was that we were talking about.
Yeah, so I mean, that's quite a very interesting concept on which to base a story, this whole idea of the white feather.
It's very shaming and very stigmatising. Mm. And it's just this, and I come back to this phrase again and again and again, it's this act of emotional violence. It's a really incredibly powerful gesture, and it's got this incredible negative symbolism. When you think about it, the white feather was at first the symbol of peace, you know, from a dove, and they've co-opted this and they've changed it. And now it's like ISIS used to be the goddess of dawn, and now they're a rather vile terrorist group. It's just the meaning totally changed, and it got very burdened down with all the symbolism. And I think towards the end of the war, when the nature of the war changed, people started to turn against it and turn against the women who gave the white feathers, even though to a certain extent they were used by the government. So you have all these questions about female and liberation and female responsibility and how much they were responsible and how much they were manipulated. And it's an interesting, thorny question because I think it makes feminists uncomfortable because it was just at the start of the feminist movement, really, that this, the feminist split. Part of them wanted to go for a more pacifistic approach, and part of them were all for this white feather and were, if anything, even more extreme than the men. So even then, even back that far, there were divisions which maybe the official history doesn't like to acknowledge too much.
Yeah, and this, as I said, it's while it is a book of fiction, it's very much based on very concrete historical facts and events that were taking place.
Yeah, it was amazing how many little things you would find out when you did a bit of reading, and the kind of people they'd be handing them white feathers outside the opera house, and there was the small bits of information were nearly as more devastating than the big ones. I mean, it's one thing, like there's a battle scene further on in the book which is based on the disastrous battle at Loos, which is very well described by Robert Graves in Goodbye to All That. And there was another book I read that mentioned that the general who was responsible for the particular division I'm talking about was also responsible for the forces that were in another disastrous battle. And one regiment was a Scottish regiment, and they were wearing their kilts and bagpipes, and he tells them to go over the top playing the bagpipes. So they weren't playing for very long because the German machine guns got them all. But it's a salutary story.
Yes,
yeah, so
you came across lots of interesting nuggets of during research by the sounds of it. Now, listen, the book is published, and it's. I mean, I know that you've had some great reviews, and I've kind of been following some of them. It's obviously available, as they say, in all good bookshops. I think you did a little bit of research locally to see where people might be able to pick it up.
Oh yeah, there's several. My sources on the ground reliably inform me there's several copies in Barker and Jones, and so they're available there. Also available on the O'Brien.ie website and Amazon if you are of an online buying or a digital bent. And yes, in nearly all good bookshops nationwide.
Yeah, and are you working on the next one? Will there be a sequel, or will you? Go on a completely different train now, maybe for your next book, or is that even planned at this stage?
Well, I think the characters in White Feathers really grabbed me so powerfully that I find it hard to really let them go. So they do hold on to me. So it's hard not to keep writing about, what happened. But also, I think there's another story that I've been working on too. That's a taboo romance during the year before World War II breaks out.
Okay.
And it's actually set in an area that was controlled by Germany. So it's on the other side. So that's what I'm working on at the moment.
Okay, well, we'll hopefully get you back in now when you've had a chance to get that all printed out and bound nicely in a book. The book is White Feather, and it's by Susan Lanigan. Susan, it's been brilliant to have you in studio, especially with all this awful weather. Thanks a million for coming down to us in Artifacts.
Thank you.